Welcome back to the Henson Family Podcast. This is part two of our interview with Anna. If you missed part one, please go check it out as we discuss how Anna's interest in music and live events came about, and we hear how she discovered Blackbird Academy. We talk about her move to Nashville, getting her foot in the door at Claire Global, and her award-winning performance at Blackbird. In today's episode, we talk about her rapid move to Pennsylvania, working on the Claire Global campus, and completing RIT. We'll pick up right where we left off. Okay, so you just graduated from Blackbird, and on March 31st, a Friday, and then on April the 3rd, you've got to show up day one at Claire. So we moved you to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
But before that, you had to, leading up to that, you knew you were going to be going. You had to find a place to live. The catch was that RIT was only going to be 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of the leases and stuff with apartments and stuff would be minimum 6 months. And so
yes.
I think your initial plans, you're going to do RIT and then probably go back to Nashville.
Yeah, that was the original plan. I was wanting to go back after those 3 months and kind of be hubbed out of Nashville near that Nashville shop. Because I knew at that point, I knew everybody, a lot of people down there had a lot of those connections. And I liked the town. So I was like, yeah, I'll go back.
So you found a, and we've got to mention that Allie, is that right?
Yes. Shout out to Allie.
Shout out to Allie, one of your Blackbird classmates, was also going to RIT. So y'all found a place up in Annville, which is not about 30 minutes from Lititz, in somebody's basement. And and y'all were able to get that. I think it was like temporary nurse housing or something. Y'all weren't actually nurses.
Yeah, I really don't know how we managed to pull that off, honestly. But I forgot what site it was. But yeah, we found this woman who has a house in Annville. And Annville's an even smaller town than Lititz. And Lititz is pretty small. So you can imagine, you're just driving, and if you roll down the windows, you just smell cow manure. Like, it's just, that's all it is. But this woman was renting out her basement, and it was pretty cheap. And it was the cheapest thing that we could find. And, this was right after graduating Blackbird and, scraping at the bottom of the barrel to barely make things work.
It was within budget.
We were both just like, this is what we're gonna do. Like, we can do this for 3 months.
Yep.
And the basement was a place. I won't ever move back into a place like that if I don't have to.
Yeah.
But it was in budget, and me and Allie, like, we both knew our goal was to, get a good, secure this job, at Claire doing RIT, and that we'd be working, over 40 hours a week. So we would just really be coming back to sleep. And so,
yeah. And I think it's important to note that during RIT, you are getting paid.
Yes, that is a thing to note. So we were making money, and knowing that we were getting the hours and, saving up, it was comforting.
Yeah.
To say the least.
So tell us, you roll up the Claire campus on that first day. What are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
Ooh, the first time seeing the Claire campus, y'all were actually there.
Yep.
I was just like, what the heck? Yeah. I was like, what the heck are these buildings? I don't know what any of this stuff is. I couldn't even figure out which one was the actual Claire warehouse.
Yeah.
I was just kind of hoping I found the right place on the first day. I mean, first day was, it was pretty nerve wracking. I knew I had a little bit of a connection with Claire working up in Nashville, but I mean, they were all in Nashville. So this was, completely new, and knowing that this is a job. Blackbird was school, and this is an actual job that you're competing for, almost.
An audition, almost.
Yeah, and so kind of more is on the line with something like this.
Yeah.
Your kind of presentation matters. And so it was a little nerve-wracking, but I mean, it's kind of the same whole idea of, you don't know these people. And so it's kind of awkward at first, but then you start building relationships with people in your class. And RIT is roughly about the same size. It's about, you max out at 15 people. Mm-hmm. So everybody's trying to just figure out what's going on. Where is everything? Because the Claire warehouse up here is pretty big. And so it's easy to get lost when you don't know where you're at.
Yeah.
And just figuring out how this place functions. And so,
hey, Anna, what is in the Claire warehouse?
Really anything you can imagine. And I mean that in the fact that with Lititz being headquarters, there's a lot that goes on in this shop. Audio wise, you know, there's all the speakers there of different brands. You know, there's a whole e-shop where you build racks of custom gear for different bands, consoles for, you know, all these people. So like, it's billions of dollars worth of gear. There's the whole manufacturing section where they build all the cabling for everything. You know, a whole tour prep area where your roadies come in to prep your tour of how you want things to be color coded, testing out all your gear, everything like that. So it's like a dance with how everything moves around the shop and flows. So
there's different departments in the warehouse. And I know during RIT, you're kind of doing, you're going through you're learning stuff during the day, and then mm-hmm. you're going to those different departments and kind of applying what you've learned. And you're really kind of doing a tour, right, around the entire warehouse until you learn pretty much a little bit about everything?
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, our class of 15 people is split up into two groups to where, you know, you work in the shop in the morning and do class in the afternoon or vice versa for the other half of the class. But, yeah, so you spend 2 weeks in each department. Whenever you're working over in the shop, really just figuring out how that department works, which is really important because you're using the gear from that department. Mm-hmm. And if you know how to build that gear, and if you know how, like, it makes troubleshooting so much easier, and just understanding how, you know, everything flows on a tour. Yeah. And then the other half is the actual training, which some of it is like sit down at a table and taking notes and like going over slideshows. And then there's the parts where the physical parts of getting your speakers and getting them up in the air, and how do you go about that procedure while also being safe.
Yeah, I remember you saying that the whole RIT is learning the Claire way of doing these different tasks, like flying speakers and stuff like that. And you know, the main thing is keeping everybody safe.
Yeah, safety is the first priority, and you just want to make sure everybody's kind of on the same page procedure-wise of how do you go about getting, you know, thousands of pounds up in the air above people's heads and making that okay.
Yeah, and Anna, when you think about that, I mean, I don't know if people can appreciate how high these speakers are in the air in a stadium.
Oh, it's insane.
So, but yeah, so to learn that.
Yeah. How do you start? Where do you start with something like that? It's a big deal. It really is.
Yeah. And I remember, and so going through these different, working in these different departments, you start interacting with and getting to know some of the, you know, the main people in these departments. And
yeah.
I think you kind of developed a good connection with Sam. Shout out to Sam. I think he kind of took a liking to you. So, because I think he could see that you were really trying to apply yourself and, you know, really learn all this stuff. And I think one thing that also helped you is coming in on the weekends, because the warehouse, they're working on the weekends. And for the RIT folks, it is optional, but, you know, it's a good thing that you show your face there, right?
Yeah. While there's the whole education side, it's still networking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to think about it as networking because you want to really like establish like real kind of relationships with a lot of these people. But I mean, yeah, you do need to show your face, show that you want it, show, you know, meet the people that have influence and like that can really teach you things.
Yeah.
And just, you gotta be honest, and you can't be, you know, a show off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just fixing to say something about that, because I know you've talked about that before, the importance of just, you know, when you meet these people, you know, you just to be kind of humble that you don't know everything. You know, it's probably easy for some personalities to, they do want to show off, and that can really turn others off. So to come in humble and saying, listen, I want to learn. I don't know it all. And I want to learn from you. And I think they appreciate that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how people want to start like teaching you and really getting those like relationships, being like, hey, I really don't know how this works, but I would really like to learn how. I really want to like understand it, and just be honest. And that's kind of how that starts. And then next thing you know, one of those situations comes up in the shop, and that person's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go grab this person to show them how this works. And then, you know, that just kind of waterfalls down to a bunch of other things.
And sometimes it can be just the simplest thing. Like, I remember you telling me you were working on building out a rack or something for somebody or something, and you took a picture of, I don't know if you took a picture of what it was supposed to look like, or I can't remember.
How to put it back together.
To put it together. So I think Sam saw you do that, and he was like, why didn't everybody do that? You know, or something like that. Am I telling the story right?
Well, I remember what it was. I was helping him with something, and I was having to take apart these like network cards in an engine. That might be a kind of a lot of lingo, but I had to take apart some things where you had to, like, you know, there's a lot of pieces to it. Mm-hmm. And so I took a picture of what it looked like, so I knew how to put it back together. And he was like, people just don't understand how simple that is.
Yeah, it's okay to say, listen, I don't remember all this. I'll take a picture. That's just being logical, Anna.
Yeah.
So it's things like that. It's like, well, I'm going to take a picture so I know how to put it back together. You know, keep it simple.
I remember you sending us pictures of these giant consoles and these racks. And you were like, yeah, this is going out on tour with such and such. And this is going out. And I was like, wow. You know, and then, of course, you'd send us this picture, and what text message would I send you back immediately? Do you remember?
I don't think I know.
I would say, is this postable? Can I post this?
Steven, that's for everything you say. everything. Yeah. Is it postable?
I just thought it was so cool that, you know, here's a rack, and I'll just throw out a name, you know, from Motley Crue. I can't remember if you drew Motley Crue or not, but here's a rack that you're building out for Motley Crue, and it's fixing to go out on tour. And, you know, it was just kind of cool. I could post this and say, look, you know, here's a picture. Look what my daughter built, and it's going to go out on a tour. And I know you took pictures of some, and or you may not have told us, or taken a picture, but maybe told us, hey, I'm going to build something for this group. And, but don't say anything, because they're not going, you know, their tour hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, pretty much. There's been a few of those instances. But yeah, building racks is really fun. And that sounds like a simple concept, but basically you get a wooden box that's empty. It's like just a shell. And every band needs certain things, pieces of gear to go, you know, travel with them. And so you're given a diagram of what gear you need to go find or like get. You go find it on the shelves, and you basically custom build this whole rack, and you need to be able to wire it to make sure it functions properly and like specific to what they need, and color code it so it's easy to, you know, put together while you're out on the road, and make it basically, you got to make it idiot proof, essentially.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about when we first got there. You know, Mom and I just saw some buildings there on the Clare campus, but you know, as you got to start working and going around to the different buildings and stuff, tell us a little bit about the campus, because there's some really cool things on that campus.
Yeah. So this whole campus that we're talking about, it's called Rock Lititz campus, which is in Lititz, Pennsylvania. So in general, though, Lititz, Pennsylvania is just this very small Amish town. And then next thing you know, you're driving on a little street and you're passing farms, and then you look to your right, and then there's this big massive campus of these big black buildings and like this hotel and all this stuff, just smack dab in the middle of this little town. And the reason that it's there is just because the owners of Claire, the Claire brothers, really, they grew up in this area of Pennsylvania, and so they kept their headquarters out there. And it's worked out really well. But for the campus itself, there's quite a bit on there, but the main buildings that I would be involved in, so there's the Claire headquarters, the warehouse itself, which is a pretty big like warehouse with multi levels, and that's, you know, they've got their offices for the people doing like logistics and stuff in there, and the CEOs, you know. So there's the warehouse itself where all that stuff happens. And then there's also a building called like Pod 2 that I would walk over there to do like my training, my RIT training, where, you know, the actual educational stuff. And there's other like small touring related businesses in that pod as well, you know, covering different aspects of touring, not necessarily Claire related. So there's that, and then there's also the studios, which is basically the rehearsal spaces. So there's Studio 1 and Studio 2. Studio 1 is a rehearsal space big enough to fit a stadium-sized production inside. So,
not a small building.
Yeah, not small at all. So you can imagine you're driving in this little Amish town and you see this big building that you'd have to be able to fit a stadium-sized production in. So it's pretty big. So like the lighting, video, audio, all those components come together in these studios to kind of figure out how that will work. And, you know, the artists will come out and be rehearsing there for, you know, sometimes months. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Studio 1 for the stadium size. Studio 2 can fit arena size tours in there as well. And then right next to the studios, there's Hotel Rock Lititz, which is, you know, the hotel on campus for the roadies that are coming in town, you know, to work on these big productions. And also, you know, the artists will stay there sometimes as well, because it's pretty close.
They'll use some of those studios to come in, you know, after the roadies, I guess, have prepped the gear, then they might use that. The artists come in and use some of those studios for rehearsals.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on the size of the production, like if there's a lot of like big cues and like automation and stuff, like sometimes those artists are in there rehearsing for like a couple months. So
the nearest big city for them is be Philadelphia, right? Hour and a half away. So it'd be nice for them to have a hotel that they can just stay there and not, you know, go back and forth.
Yeah. And I mean, Lititz is pretty quaint. And so like they can be out and about, and nobody really knows. So it's, Lititz does a good job of like kind of protecting that and kind of keeping everything under wraps, really. Those are the main areas that I hit on the Rock Lititz campus. It's got some cool amenities, you know.
That's what I was going to say. You've got, can't talk about the campus and not mention the rock climbing gym.
Yeah, I get free access to a rock climbing gym there on campus.
Sometimes the roadies have to be certified in climbing to, you know, hang this gear and stuff. And so they can certify their, you know, employees there at that gym itself. And then you've also got access to your doctor's offices right there. And it's just like everything's just really close. And
it's all in one little spot, which is very convenient.
Yeah. Okay, so you're finishing up, you're going through RIT. It was supposed to be around 3 months. I don't think they had, at the time, specific dates on when you were going to end. I think it was more or less when they thought y'all were done or, you know, ready to go. So you're about ready to finish up RIT and you complete that. And I know that before they mark you as quote-unquote complete, y'all, they do some kind of test, right? Or like a real world test, or send you out to do some things, and tell us about the gig that they sent you out on.
Yeah.
I assume you know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. So there's the like test that we do at the little training area along with the field training, which is what you're talking about, where they'll send, you know, you and maybe another person out on a gig to help, you know, the Claire crew that's out there and help them, you know, get their system up and going and see kind of how you do. And the crew chiefs of that tour, you know, kind of report back to our educators and the people that are training us to let us know how we do and just kind of get an understanding of like where we fit, you know, in the real world application. So that being said, my field training that I was sent out on was at Hershey Stadium in Hershey, Pennsylvania for Blink 182.
That was a pretty big, you know, at the time you were thinking, man, that's a huge venue.
Yeah. I mean, it seats quite a bit of people. I mean, it's saying it's a stadium is a stretch, but you know, it's pretty big. And so from Lititz, that's like maybe 30, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
So it's not bad, but it was me and one other of my classmates. We were, doing our field training for them, and it was fun. I had a great time, but it was a lot to take in. It was the first time I'd been at like a gig, mm-hmm. real world situation with more than just audio. Cause I mean, in our little training area, I can practice putting speakers up and down all I want, but it's not until you're there with lighting and video being like, hey, I need your stuff out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I need to put video panels here, or this stuff here, that you really get that experience of like working with other departments,
other crews,
getting stage hands, because you get your local stage hands no matter like everywhere you go. And how do you direct those people to helping you do your job?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. And so it was fun. I got major sunburned, cause it was outside, but I mean, it was a sick gig. I enjoyed it a lot, and I enjoyed meeting people in that crew.
I think that was kind of a testament to your work ethic and how you ended up doing in RIT. You did very well. And so they felt comfortable enough to put you on this big of a gig, you know, right out of the gate. So
I was very proud of myself in that moment too, just knowing that they trusted me with something like that. So,
yeah. So RIT is coming to an end. And with that final test, and I will say that you did end up getting excellent feedback on your performance at the Blink 182 concert. So let's think back through all of RIT. Do you have any favorite part or a favorite moment?
Ooh, that is a good question. I'd say my favorite part was really, I'd say, getting like the relationships that I've established with all the people there. And I mean, especially my RIT class, because, you know, there's 15 of us and we're spending 3 months together, you know, basically every day, and getting to know each other and really just kind of understanding how each other work and seeing like how you can help one another. Being like, oh, I know this, but they need help. Let me see if I can teach them and see if like I can, my, you know, knowledge holds up in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But also just hanging out with everybody, you know, we all become kind of like this little family. And even just everybody at the shop itself, like we all genuinely enjoy seeing each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. Like I love going into the warehouse and working every day, because I just love hanging out with the people that are there. And so probably just that. And, you know, we'd all go hang out at the little local pub and, you know, play pool and just order pizza and just hang out and throw darts and, you know, just be friends. And so that's probably my favorite part.
Awesome. That doesn't makes it not feel like a job, you know, or like, you know, like you're working, quote unquote, working. So
exactly.
That's going to do it for part two. The end of this series, part three, will drop next Wednesday. In that episode, we'll learn about the gig assignment process and finally find out what tour Anna gets assigned to. If you would, please consider subscribing to our podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions, please email us at podcast@hensonfamily.me, podcast@hensonfamily.me, Thanks for listening.